This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That are Mario voices.
Welcome to Punch Out the Jam!
There has to be an extra A in there somewhere.
And welcome to Punch Out the Jam! This is offensive.
I know, I was going to say, recently the discourse has pivoted to like, is it offensive?
I will say it again. I don't think you can be offensive in an Italian accent. I think it's okay to do. Mike, are you Italian? Engineer is giving me a big thumbs up, so I think we're okay.
One Italian has approved this.
Welcome to the mask! I'm hitting play.
Punch it! I mean, this is like the rainbow riff.
Yeah. Punch the jam. Punch the jam. Punch the jam. Punch the jam.
Welcome to the only podcast where we punch up songs and do it as Mario and Wario.
Wario.
It's me, Wario.
Does he say it's
no?
Does he only say Wario ever?
He goes, I'm gonna win.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
How do we get here so fast? Okay, my name is
Miel. Who's your smash main?
My smash main?
Mm-hmm.
It's Link.
Ooh.
Or new Smash Young Link.
Young Link. Not Cartoon Link?
No, I like Young Link.
Okay.
I want him to go, ha! I don't know why it makes me feel strong and big.
It's like, he's weak, but I'm strong.
I'm strong!
Okay, I get it.
It's a me, Wario!
I was going to say, that is the Wario feeling, where it's I'm big and Mario small.
That's how I want to live my life. I'm so glad we got here so fast. I haven't even formally introduced you yet. Let's do that. You know her as the entertainment reporter at Polygon. It's Karen Hahn.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited. I love your tweets so much.
Oh, thank you so much. They're deranged, and every time anyone's like, I know your tweets, I'm like, this is going to go bad.
No, but it always goes great.
Usually.
Because your tweets are great and you attract greatness. Like me, Wario! What if I just did this the whole episode?
I would like that. I'll put in the request now.
Thank you. Speaking of requests, you wanted to do one of the greatest songs of all time, Vindicated by Dashboard Confessional.
When I DM'd it to you, I was like, it's the best song ever written.
That's how you described it. And I was like, you are correct. And that is what we're doing. Thank you so much.
I mean, the only other thing that I have to say about Vindicated is that whenever you mention it to anyone, they're like, oh yeah, that's the best song ever written.
Everyone
but
agrees.
Also, if you sit down and listen to it, it's a terrible song. It rules, but it's terrible. Do you know what I'm saying?
I 100% know what you're saying. And I agree with you wholeheartedly.
The only context is in which it's good is if you can sing along to it. If you can't and you're just listening to it, it wears off very quickly.
And I also think maybe it's like a single listen at a time. I don't think once you get the explosion of the chorus, which of course we will listen to.
Yeah.
It's hard to go back. Do you know what I mean? Once you know what's coming, it's like, okay, let's go back to Mario Kart terms.
Yes.
It's like when you're in the Wario level of Mario Kart and the first time through, you didn't know there's gonna be a giant gap and you're like, oh no, I didn't use my speed
boost. But you'll know every other time. Yeah.
Now you know. Exactly. You can't listen to it the second, third
lap. I feel about this song the way that Alfred Molina feels about Jesse's Girl and Boogie Nights.
Wait, how does he feel about them?
Have you ever seen Boogie Nights?
Of course. I watched it on an airplane off my laptop and everyone thought I was watching porn. It was a mistake.
This is my problem at work whenever I watch screeners that have sex scenes in them. And I'm like, this is the worst. And I'm like, do I let it play or do I immediately close it? Or is that like more conspicuous?
Way more conspicuous.
Yeah.
One time I walked by a restaurant in my hometown with like a glass window between two seating sections.
No.
And the man in the corner in front of me was watching Vampire Sluts. Right as the title slammed on the screen and he looked back and saw me, closed the laptop and ran away. And I honestly wish he would have just kept watching it. It would have been better than what he did. So if we can learn anything from Vampire Sluts, man, it's that
I think it's also, this also goes back to the Wario thing where it's like, as long as you project enough confidence,
yes,
your bit is fine.
He was doing it as a bit, of course. So that a 14-year-old girl would see it.
You're freaking, oh no.
But wait, what were you going to say about Alfred Molina?
Well, he like, the screen cap of him like doing like two chef's kiss fingers. And like,
are you talking about in this music video? Which is of course because this is from Spider-Man 2. Famously, he played Doc Ock.
No.
Okay.
The screen cap in Boogie Nights where he's like talking about how much he loves Jessie's girl, and there's like just cocaine all over his face. And he's like just like in an open bathrobe, be like, "Oh, wait for it," and then start singing along to it. Like that's how I feel about Vindicated, and that's how I think everyone feels about Vindicated.
And oh my God, what a segue! Alfred Molina.
I had the biggest crush on him in this movie.
I didn't know I liked Alfred Molina until I saw Spider-Man 2 and then was like, who's this Doc Ock guy?
Yes.
There's
he's so good at it.
Hot and brooding about him.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we should say probably on air that one thing we just discovered we have in common is that we both hate when Hollywood tries to tell us who the leading man is because we actually do know who it is, and it's that little freak in the corner.
It's obviously Doc Ock.
It's such obviously Doc Ock. Tobey Maguire? No thanks. James Franco? No. Dr. Octopus.
Also, that's true of every Spider-Man movie also. As we were discussing, Willem Dafoe, huge crush for everybody.
Everyone at home has to go to our Instagram and look at the picture with Garrett's shirt because you showed up with a picture of Willem Dafoe on your shirt that says "Da Best" underneath.
The shirt kindly sent to me by Super Yagi. They only make shirts like this. It's the best. But truly, I remember as a very small child going to go see Spider-Man 2 and being like, wow, I love Doc Ock. And then I went to go see it during a summer that I was at band camp. So it was a lot of us band kids.
I love
kids.
You so much.
I love you too. And so it was a bunch of us band kids. And some kid in some other class was sitting like a few rows behind me. And I just remember they were like, oh, he has moobs. And I was like, I don't see what the problem is. And also that's mean.
More to squeeze, baby.
Exactly.
Are you kidding? I would kill for moobs. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I don't know. Do they count if you're not a man?
That's a good question. Or is that an unfair advantage?
Yeah. I'm going to call them moobs.
Yeah? From now on?
Nah. They're both named Wario. I'm going to win. Every
really
time
good.
I take my top off.
Okay. If you painted it so the nipple is the nose.
Just a zigzag mustache.
Okay, here's the question. Would you do them both as Wario or switch one of the other ones?
One's Yoshi and one's Wario. No, they're both Wario.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm really glad we got to that point because I was hoping that we would arrive there when discussing Vindicated by Natasha McConnell. Okay, I have to tell you some things about the song. It is from Spider-Man 2, which has one of the best soundtracks.
It's also the best superhero movie.
I think I agree with you. I loved Thor Ragnarok, but it didn't feel like a
Does
super...
Does Thor Ragnarok have Alfred Molina? I don't think so.
No, but it has Doug. I give a lot of points to Doug.
Okay, that's fair.
Spider-Man 2 comes out in 2004. Mm-hmm. At the time, Dashboard was not a big-ish deal. They were semi-big. Let me put it in the words of Chris Carababa himself. He says, in 2003, well, actually, I'll put it in my terms first, and then we'll get to his quote, because I did paraphrase. In 2003, their album, A Mark, A Mission, A Brand, A Scar, of course, with Hands Down, another Dashboard confessional, great, starting to get some steam. And then this old punk rocker, her name, Leah Volokh, she used to do sound for Richard Hell. Do you know who that is? Punk legend. She was apparently a longtime fan of Dashboard Confessional and also coincidentally the head of music for movies at Sony.
Which, like, good for her.
Which, of course, now explains why the Spider-Man 2 soundtrack was so great. Mm-hmm. It's like a pop punk, emo, screamo, whatever, how you want to define it, genre dream.
It's exactly right for 2004.
Ugh. Can we just go back to the simple times when emo music was a theme for a comic book movie? It made so much more sense than what now it's like Sia. What is, I don't understand.
Do you think we'll ever, like there's so much like nostalgia pivoting back, like Guardians of the Galaxy is so like oldies music. Do you think like we'll get to a point, yeah, whatever. But like, do you think there'll be a point where the superhero movies pivot back to just being emo?
I mean, I'll take it.
Yeah.
If anybody, hey, listen, any of you Sony peeps listen to this? Who makes Spider-Man? No, it's Marvel now. Any Disney people listening to this, we would love to get an emo soundtrack for your next comic book film. I think it could really set you apart.
Peter Parker's a teen.
Peter Parkour always, I feel like, should have been his name, but it's fine.
You're absolutely right.
Thank you. So Leah goes, hey, Chris, we'd love to have you on the soundtrack. Not in the movie, not obviously as the single, just like on the soundtrack, which I guess at the time and maybe still their movies release soundtracks. It's like a companion
like
piece.
Albums, yeah.
Like a mood. Remember, like Garden State, although I think that actually was in the film, but yeah. You get what I'm saying. As like an album, a way to make additional money. So he sends her a song, which as far as I can tell, this song was never actually released. But it gets approved and on the soundtrack. And mm-hmm. here is that song, a live clip.
This rules.
It kind of slaps, right?
Yeah, this is
why
great.
Didn't they release that? It's a great song.
Why can't I stream this?
Chris, I Need a Sure Thing needs a real release. That song slaps.
It's really good.
The best part about that video I pulled it from is the girl going, stop, you're being really loud.
Oh, no.
The clip around her talking. Okay, so that gets approved, and it's going on the soundtrack. So what happens? How did we get here? Where did Vindicated come from? A song that hadn't been written yet. So since they're friends, Leah's like, hey, do you want to just come see an unfinished version? We can watch it together at the Sony lot. And he's like, sure. So they see it. He was like, loved it. Great. Moves on with his life.
Obviously, because it's the best.
And it was partially in pencil animation still.
Still the best.
So he's just like seeing sequences cutting between like real footage and then just like, and here's what it will look like. And he still loved it. Which it's a fantastic movie. So he's in Hawaii, I think, on tour. And he has a day off. And he's getting jammed to go surf. But he real quick is like, well, I guess while my coffee's brewing, I'll like noodle on guitar for a minute. So he picks up the guitar and starts playing. And suddenly, Vindicated just pours out of him. Here's what he says. I didn't get to surf on that trip. But it was well worth it. It kind of just like spilled out. It wasn't like I wrote the thing with Spider-Man in mind. The song is about me and my life experience. When I finished the song, I realized that the spark of inspiration, some of it might have come from having seen a story I related to so recently. Might have.
Here's the thing. That's such a circular argument where it's like, it's not inspired by this at all, but also the themes were so similar. Also, that is what he says in this oral history, I should mention, by my good friend Esther Zuckerman at Thrillist. But also, like, it seems like every other interview that he did about this song, he was like, yeah, I saw Spider-Man 2 and I was so inspired and I went to go write the song in 10 minutes.
Chris!
It's like, pick a lane.
Chris! Which one is it? Yeah, because he even says, I called Leah and I say, Leah, look, I got this other song. You don't want to pull the brakes on anybody. I'm just some kid. This is a big machine. I just said, look, I get it. Neither of these songs are going to be the single. I get it if you don't want to change it. But I just kind of feel a relationship between this song and the movie. If there's any chance, you know, we could switch it out. Which as someone that's fairly well-versed in how Hollywood works, yeah. Like that's a crazy kamikaze move. All that's going to do usually, like 10 out of 10 times, is make her never work with you again. And she's sure as shit not going to actually do what you're asking. It's a do you know how many hands that has to go through? The legal, like the everything, the licensing. Like they already probably have started like printing and releasing the set list. Like it's crazy, right?
But when it's Vindicated.
So she goes, okay, I need you to cut a demo. Which already, the most patient woman in the world. Mm-hmm. Leah, if you're listening, I'm a huge fan. I would happily play Wario with you, which is of course when I paint Wario on my boobs. Okay, so at the venue where they're playing the show at, because again, I believe they're on tour, mm-hmm. He asks the guy after sound check, hey, can you just roll on this? And they record the demo of Vindicated. He kind of sends it to her, I think supposedly according to him, but again, he's made himself untrustworthy. We don't know.
He's an unreliable narrator.
Absolutely. Sends it to her and is like, I don't know, just an idea. And she goes, here's the thing, you've got to get in the studio like tomorrow because this, my boy, is the single.
I mean, it's like if Orson Welles sent Citizen Kane to the studio being like, I don't know, I was just messing around, I thought you might like this.
I hate that this actually happened because I think this is what every person convinces themselves is like going to happen.
Is how art works, and yeah. It's just so painful.
I don't know, I was just getting a sandwich and someone stopped me and was like, you need to be in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, those stories don't ever happen, except this time it did.
Except for Chris Carava.
Okay, so he has to fly straight back to LA and make this goddamn song. Mm-hmm. They immediately have to make this music video now, long after they're since shooting. They turn a whole Brooklyn slot into Doc Ock's lair.
I do love it. They're like, it's Doc Ock's lair. But then when you watch the video, you're like, is it?
It's an homage.
It's like you looked at one Pinterest board and you're like, I can do that. And you went to Home Depot.
Home Depot. Classic music video resource.
Yes.
I do think they probably had like 2 weeks to turn it around.
That's fair.
Which, with that in mind, this is pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. That this song just came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I did read that the producer that worked on it also produced a lot of Good Charlotte, so I feel forever in his debt.
That's
for my entire childhood. But no, he does stick with the point of the lyrics align with the plot of Spider 2 purely coincidentally.
Spider 2.
Spider 2. That's what we call it in the biz. I know that like, you kind of are in the film biz, but in the true film biz,
I got it.
We call it Spider 2.
The lingo?
Yeah. So in Spider 2, Doc Ock, as it's known, he really says, it's a metaphor, but it's the most literal thing. I had this little trinket.
He can't pick one thing. Nope. He can't.
Listen, he goes so far to try to justify how it's not about Spider-Man. He says, I had this little trinket that was given to me by someone special, and I couldn't get her. I had this little thing. I didn't have it on a necklace. I had it on a string. And I wore it around my neck, and I would take it off and like twirl it. So
reading this, I was just like, oh boy. Like,
I don't think any of it's true, right?
No.
It feels like a lie. He goes, so literal. I longed for this girl who was somebody else's gross way to talk about a person, but yeah. Okay. And I wanted her to be mine. I wanted to be hers. I guess that's less possessive sounding. So he corrects halfway through.
Chris.
I take it off and like, you know, you do when you're holding something like a pendulum. Yeah, you know how we all hold pendulums?
I don't think anyone does that.
I mean, maybe like Doc Ock.
Wait, he doesn't do that either.
No, but like a cartoon villain might. You know what I mean?
Like hold the petting the cat thing. Yeah.
Although more relatable than a pendulum, petting a cat.
Yeah.
Unless you're like flipping over an hourglass. You know what I mean? There's like an ominous quality to holding a pendulum.
That should have been what Vindicated was about. Flipping my hourglass.
Sand dangles in the glass.
I mean, again, it's a terrible song, but it's great.
But it's real because he used to say, I twist it and like let it wind in and out. His necklace on a string. So I was writing about
something
unrelated.
If you do that to a necklace, it gets tangled and you can never wear it again.
No. But not when they're made out of string. You know when you make a string necklace and then somehow that's related to a girl you want to be yours? And then you're like, randomly, you did just see a screening of Spider-Man and you are actively angling to be a bigger part of that soundtrack, probably. But then it came from a totally different
place.
Oh, boy.
It's like if you saw Joker and then you were like, yeah, I just wrote this song about living in a society. It's not about Joker at all. It's like, fuck you, man.
No, he literally is quoted as saying, hey, when I listened to Do It Back, I said, hey, that sort of sounds like Spider-Man. I think Leo would like that. I don't buy any of this.
No.
Okay, sure, man. Yeah. He says, I didn't realize it. I thought when I was writing it was about me, and I was like, man, a lot of that imagery. Maybe that was inspired by what I'd seen in the same quote. So
he goes
we'll
back
never
and
know.
Forth a lot on it. Yeah.
Wait, winding in and winding out? That's so weird. It's all a metaphor. It's so crazy. Okay, the last thing I have to say is from, oh my God, this is a... You might want to hold the arms of that chair.
Okay.
This is from my patron, Demetra Barrero. Her story with the song. Hoo boy. All good stories, by the way, start with a hoo boy. Okay. So I was sleeping with this guy in college.
Oh boy.
Hoo boy. Back again. Who used to keep a porn DVD in the CD case for this album. The movie of choice. The first adult role. Starring some girl he dated in high school.
What?
This was well after they dated.
What? But he kept it?
We were like 20 or 21. If that's not the exact vibe of this sentimental fuckboy anthem, I don't know what is.
No.
So just, I think if we could reiterate, he's 20 or 21 now, dating somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But he is so open with his porn habits. First of all, dating us. We had a porn DVD. Those were the days, huh? Still a little ashamed. He's hiding in a dashboard confessional or Spider-Man 2 soundtrack.
Where did the Spider-Man 2 CD go?
Oof. Karen, this is why you're a journalist. This is why. Instantly with the hard-hitting questions.
Investigative instincts. It's like, I need to know where the soundtrack went.
See, my brain is like, why are you watching porn that someone made that you actually dated? Doesn't that feel very bad?
Well, yeah.
And while you have
a
girlfriend.
Why would you keep that?
And now your girlfriend somehow knows about it? Did you show her?
There's a lot of layers. Yeah, did you show her? And also, if you didn't, when she found this, how did she know that you used to... I have to assume that...
He told her.
Exactly.
And then you're really like circling right back to, and then where'd Spider-Man 2 soundtrack go?
Exactly.
Or Dashboard Confessional, because I do believe
there's
a couple
only,
years later they put on their
album. Of those two objects, you can only enjoy one of them with your current girlfriend.
And spoiler, it's the one with the Ataris on it. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Okay, I've never said it out loud.
Word?
No, the Ataris is like what it looks
Ataris.
Like.
Ataris. I like that better almost. This Listen. Is my gaming system, the Ataris.
I don't know, maybe it was like a cool alt
thing. If they re-release it, they should like make the packaging really shiny and call it the Ataris.
We're ready for another Don Henley cover. The Ataris. Ooh. Get at us. Ah! Okay. Should we get into the song?
Yes.
We're about to break our goddamn necks.
Ah! This intro was like just long enough for you to be like, oh fuck, it's vindicated. Put down your drink and immediately go somewhere that you can headbang and sing along to the song.
Exactly.
It's so good. I'm already tired. I'm so tired. This is also unsingable for a girl.
Oh, it's so low.
The range is bad.
It jumps up right into a good spot, but yeah. It starts so low.
And even like when it jumps up, it's like mid-range.
Yep.
So when you scream it, you immediately lose your voice.
It hurts to scream. Yeah, and I learned that the hard way.
It feels so good.
I am blown away that they were like, what if we started by going up to 10?
Mm-hmm. And then immediately dropping it
down. Back down to 1. Yeah. You're exactly right in that it feels like the song. I mean, personally, I've heard it enough that as soon as the like guitar feedback mm-hmm. comes on, I'm like, this is vindicated.
Yeah. Wow. It's great.
I mm-hmm. love when they give you a little bit of like, here's what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Brace yourself.
Or it's like, if you know, you know.
You know. Yeah. This is for the real G's.
This is for the real spider's head, spider two heads.
I'm so glad we finally found a name for our army. Spider two heads.
Doc Ock army.
To throw their drinks aside. Sprint to the dance yeah. floor. You yeah. actually can't dance to this song.
No, you can't.
Just hurt yourself.
All you can do is like gesticulate very strongly.
It hurt my neck.
When oh, we were no.
No, I mean like it needed to be hurt. Mm-hmm. I don't regret it, but yeah. it does hurt.
Yeah. The most recent time that I was like really listening to this with like friends was like beginning of this year. And we were just all like picking songs that we could sing along to. We picked Vindicated. And immediately I was like, oh, like when you pick the song, the intro is too long. And also,
you can't sustain the energy.
It flags really hard as soon as you hit the verse.
Yep. You have to like, actually, I think that's the point. Injure yourself in the intro mm-hmm. so that during the verse you can recoup.
Yes.
So that by the chorus you're ready to do it again. I love the way the guitar sounds. Mm-hmm. I love that weird feedback just pad. I don't know what they did with it.
Yeah, it's great.
The drums are so loud. The cymbals.
It's like when the tremolo kicks in Crimson and Clover and you're like, fuck, this rules. Except that, but like at 2 times the tempo.
Sorry. The terminology you just used. I'm just obsessed that you casually talked about tremolo with Crimson and Clover.
But like, am I wrong?
No. Exactly correct.
Right, like, wah, 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 wah. You're like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, this is it. Like, this is the good part.
I don't know what the good part is of this song. I mean, obviously, one part slams harder than the other.
Yeah.
But I love the verses on this song.
Really?
I do, because they're like, I don't know. I imagine him staring at camera.
Yeah,
I feel
you're
it
right.
in his voice.
You're right.
Hope.
It fits into the picture of Kurosawa that is painted by the oral history that we just read from.
Absolutely. I have to stop saying absolutely. I'm obsessed. I don't know.
I think you've only said it once.
On this episode, maybe so
okay,
far.
Okay, sure.
But in the last 5 episodes, I think it's clocking over 1,000. I'm so excited to agree that I keep saying the same word. It's time for a new one. I'm going to say, yeah, brother. See if that works.
It's a me Wario.
Yeah.
Or I'm a gonna win.
I'm a gonna win. Every time I agree with someone to emphasize. Hope dangles on a string.
Like slow spinning redemption.
And this isn't about Spider-Man. And roped me in so mesmerizing, so hypnotizing. I am captivated. I am. I was hoping. I actually clipped it there in the great hopes that you would air drum and have nothing happen.
Yeah, just, is it better than In the Air Tonight?
Ooh. Wow, again, can tell you're a journalist. What a question.
This is my like Watergate moment where it's like,
it really is
In the Air Tonight.
I mean, famously, and I mean that, famously, I am obsessed with the drum fill and In the Air Tonight. I don't know that the drum alone is as good, but mm-hmm. the effect is similar.
Mm.
I will give In the Air Tonight the upper hand because it only happens once. And
that's
you have to
really
wait for
fair.
It.
That's really fair.
And I do love edging famously again. I'm very famous for my love of edging.
I respect that. Oh God, it's just so good. And the verse is like so short.
Yeah, so he said, okay, in total, hope dangles on a string, like slow spinning redemption, winding in and winding out. The shine of it has caught my eye.
This is not about Spider-Man.
Yeah, because obviously he's famously shiny. You know, they're like, hey, is that a spider? A bird? Oh, no, it's shiny. It's Spider-Man.
Oh, no.
And roped me in. So mesmerizing, so hypnotizing. I'm captivated. I am. And then I can't possibly guess what he's going to say next.
I am vindicated. I am selfish. I am wrong. I am right. I swear I'm right. Swear I knew it all along. And I am flawed. But I am cleaning up so well. I am seeing in me now the things you swore you saw yourself so clear.
The range is bad. It's bad to sing, but it's good to yell.
Doesn't it feel like the way he just smoothly goes back into the verse that he's like, all right, calm down, sweetie. Just calm on down, baby. It actually, I don't know if this qualifies as edging because he did kind of give it to us.
Mm-hmm.
But it does feel maybe tantric. You know what I mean? It's like,
okay,
come back down, come back down, come back down. And then back up we go.
Here's the thing, though. There's no higher peak than that, though.
How can you? Although, maybe a bridge, but we'll see.
Okay.
I do think the bridge slams in pretty hard.
I think the bridge... the bridge is like the one part where I'm like, this could be better.
Uh-oh. Our first fight.
It's live and on air.
But we'll get there. He said vindicated. Well, leading in. I am vindicated. I am selfish. I am wrong. I am right. I swear I'm right. I swear I knew it all along. And I am flawed. But I am cleaning up so well. I am seeing in me now the things you swore you saw yourself so
And
clean.
This isn't about Spider-Man 2?
Actually, this is a great opportunity to take an ad break.
Okay.
Welcome back. My new thing is I just have no segue for adverse. It's working really well for me. So, Chris, we already know he is wont to contradicting himself. But in character, is this person making any sense to you?
This is the part of the movie where Spider-Man throws away his costume and he tries to be a normal civilian. And then he's like, fuck no, I have to be Spider-Man. And then he goes and steals his costume back from the Daily Bugle and is like, I am Spider-Man. I'm going to go save New York.
You remember this movie a lot better than I do.
Because I love this movie.
Also, you said Bugle, and I got hungry. Thank you for that.
Bugles. The Daily Bugles.
That's my diet choice. Thank you so much. Okay, here's actually verse two.
So clear, like the diamond in your ring. Cut to mirror your intention. Oversized and overwhelmed. The shine of which has caught my eye.
So you're saying she's engaged in this movie?
Yeah.
Then that's clearly about that.
Number one, that. Number two, if you're saying this is about your real life, if you're pining after a girl who's engaged and trying to like get at her,
you're a
don't do that.
You're a piece of shit.
Yes.
Don't do that.
Don't fucking do that unless you're Spider-Man in Spider-Man 2.
I mean, we all knew she was playing hard to get. Imagine if that was the narrative.
I would start screaming and never stop.
No, when a girl says no, it's just because she wants you to try harder. Yeah, it's so gross.
It's bad. She has a fucking diamond ring.
And that's expensive.
Yes.
It even says it's oversized and overwhelmed.
If it catches your fucking eye twinkle, that's a like illegal diamond.
I love that he manages to describe a ring. Outside of Lord of the Rings songs, you know, you don't feel like this happens very much.
It should only happen in Lord of the Rings songs. And like the wording is so where he's like, this has to fit the meter. It sounds like the song was written by like Yoda.
Second half of verse two.
Rendered me so isolated, so motivated. I am certain now that I am.
Oh boy.
I love cutting.
Oh,
it
the cut.
Rendered me so isolated, so motivated. And I'm certain now that
motivated
I am.
Motivated to homewreck?
I think that is what he's saying. I sincerely get that sense. That is what he's saying, right? It has to be.
Yeah. Where okay. It's like, I'll do better so that she'll marry me instead.
Yeah, because I saw her ring and I felt really isolated.
Mm.
And also like, man, I got to get... Okay, things I got to do. Get my diet right. Start going to the gym more. Break up her marriage.
This is... The Boogie Nights crossover, where the Alfred Molina song is Jesse's Girl. I wish I had Jesse's Girl.
He wants actually, what's James Franco? No, wait, astronaut character's name?
I don't remember.
See, so you don't really know this movie very well.
Yeah, I guess not.
So the castle comes crumbling down, Karen. You probably like.
I have to resign from my job.
I feel like his name is probably Adam.
I think it feels like a J.
Jeff. You can't say that name any other way.
Astronaut.
It's Greg with a Jeff.
I'm just Googling it. I have to Google so many things on this
it's
podcast.
It's Ad Astra, coincidentally.
I would love that.
Okay, now it's back to the clip that I tried playing before. Which is, of course, the chorus again into the bridge.
Vindicated! I am selfish! I am wrong! I am right! I swear I'm right! Swear I knew it all along! And I am flawed! But I am cleaning up so well!
Doesn't make sense as life, that's fine.
What did you say?
I said it doesn't make sense as a lyric, but that's fine.
Oh, where I he's think like, it does.
Where he, like he's doing the Joker thing?
So no, he's, okay. He said, so turn up the corners of your lips, mm-hmm. part them and feel my fingertips. He's saying, smile, sweetie, I want to put my fingers in your mouth.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
He's like, I know you're engaged. This technically isn't anything you could get in trouble for. Oh, no. I would love to fist your mouth.
Oh, no.
That's so intimate. Can I put my fist in your mouth? Because I already know it fits in mine, and that's tired terrain.
I've done that before, but you know what I really want to explore?
Your mouth.
That smacker.
Hear me out. What has one thumb and belongs in your mouth? Oh, no. My right hand.
Oh, no. I have washed it. It is fine.
Or haven't. You like the seasoned, you know, like a cast iron pan.
What'll it taste like? You don't know.
But it's a mystery that we can both look forward to finding.
Oh, God.
I mean, what the... Does that happen in the movie? Does Spider-Man put his finger in Mary Jane's mouth?
He absolutely does not do that. So this you would know if he did that.
I feel like I remember the upside down kiss. Mm-hmm. And then famously the scene where he just makes his hand flat like he's feeding a horse and crams it into Mary Jane's mouth. Where he takes his pinky finger and just puts it through her mouth.
Really the first mainstream representation for finger slash mouth play.
Finger slash mouth play, I've said it once, I'll say it twice. Doesn't get enough play, get enough play.
Oh no.
What the fuck is this line?
I don't know.
He was like, while I'm writing this song that I'm pretty much only writing to try to up my status with Leah at Sony, maybe I'll sneak in a weird kink I have. Right?
This is the only thing missing from the oral history. Where it's like, what's going on with
the
that?
The oral history, baby?
I didn't want to say anything.
You should have said something because you knew I was gonna. I like the way the chorus transitioned into the bridge.
The transition is good, but the bridge is an interesting comparative to the chorus.
Tell me why, music genius.
It's just like, it slows it down. It also isn't as dynamic. Like, it doesn't move as much. It's not like, or at least it's not like,
it's a lot of the same
screamo
note.
Enough. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's like you need a chorus in this that's like the chorus in Breakaway.
I'm on my dreams and I learn how to fly.
Like it's got to go up and it's got to move.
Okay, so you
like
wanted,
Spider-Man.
Did you want the bridge to match the energy of the chorus?
It either has to it has to match it or not be so boring. Like it has to at least come close or exceed it.
What if it just cut to, I don't know, Doc Ock doing a monologue like a la Thriller?
I would love that.
Alfred Molina just doing some Shakespeare quick.
They should have done that. He's so good.
He's so good.
He like reads poetry in the fucking movie.
He seems like the coolest man alive.
He really seems like just the world's sweetheart.
We have no choice but to stan the Molly man.
He's beautiful.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Bridge part two.
Oh, the guitar.
Defense is paper thin, just one touch and I'd be into deep now to ever swim against the current, so let me slip away.
I love the tom hit. Boom, boom.
That is good.
I love the drums on this song.
Let me slip away. As soon as it transitions into that, it's
you're back
good.
On board.
It's just like the rest of it, I find a little milk toast.
What about that little guitar? That feels peak 2003 emo-y, Death Cab for Cutie
I feel like I feel like you could put that somewhere in one of the final, one of the last two verses you sing.
Okay.
That's your little flavor.
I hear you. Just to spice it up now that we've established the structure.
Mm-hmm. Where it's like, you know what this is going to be. But do you?
Think again. What he
you get me.
I totally. What he said was, trace the moment, fall forever. And then this isn't in the lyrics, but defense is paper thin, which I believe he's saying her defense.
Yeah. Which just one shouldn't be engaged if that's true.
No, no. Wait for this line. Just one touch and I'd be in.
Her mouth?
I think it's the mouth again. Once I put my fist in your mouth, you're going to get a taste you can't get enough of.
Oh my God.
And then he says, too deep now to ever swim against the current, so let me slip away. Oh, whoa, what? Is this a sex thing? This feels like a sex thing.
We established it's a sex thing pretty early.
No, but not this viscerally.
Okay, sure.
To slip, touch, too deep now? This is profane, Chris.
I need a chaperone if we're going to go into this part of the conversation.
This is upsetting, right? I didn't realize it was so explicit.
I mean...
Spider-Man is a boy, Chris. He's nothing but a boy with too much responsibility.
He's not but a lad.
If Spider-Man's having sex, he'll be too distracted to keep the city of New York safe. He's grieving.
That is kind of the story.
Yeah, Spider-Man must stay a virgin for all of our sakes.
No.
I will die on that hill.
I really... did you see the most recent? You did see it because you...
No, not
J.K.
the
Simmons.
Most recent.
Oh, okay.
But I did... I went to the premiere of the one before and I loved it.
It's great. I want to, when he and Zendaya are like, maybe we'll kiss. I'm like, I really hope they kiss.
Yeah. Did they not kiss in the new one?
Oh, they do kiss.
Oh.
It's so nice. I cried. I was like, oh, they kiss.
Because they kiss. Uh-huh. And then slowly from the bottom of the frame, his little spidey hand slipped up and just stuffed his hand in her mouth.
Yeah. When the finger mouth happened, I was like, oh my God.
And Zendaya was like, yum, yum, fingers.
Oh God. This is my nightmare.
It's so gross to me.
Yeah.
Especially if it's like, nothing. Maybe if you were like in the middle of a sexual activity, but that's the only thing you do.
I like can't imagine a context in which I would really like find that like hot. Maybe as like a weird bit where I'm like, oh, I bit your finger. Like, fine, but like,
did you just recreate Charlie bit my finger? It's my cosplay. I love to role play in the bedroom as Charlie bit my finger.
Where it's like, I can't imagine any circumstance under which I'd be like, oh yeah, like
okay,
that's,
okay. I can one.
You can?
Yes, and here okay. it is.
If you're role playing,
you're role playing is Lady and the Tramp. And you're suckling that spaghetti, but the spaghetti's a finger.
But there's no other end to that spaghetti.
It's a really long finger. You just...
And then you're just kissing the knuckle?
Eventually. But it will take some time. You need to curve the finger as it goes in. I don't know. Chris, I curse you for making me think about this.
I've never thought about this in this amount of detail.
I mean, listen, already we know this song is like kind of a bummer because he's being like, man, fuck you, you're mine.
This is why it's a terrible song. You should not listen to the lyrics.
We're not rooting for you, Chris.
Not anymore.
And now that you want to shove your hand in her mouth, I'm rooting for you even less.
Yeah.
I'm trying to break her defense down. No good man says that, just so you know. Not you, Karen. Everyone at home. Okay, and now the bridge second section.
Part two. Which
well,
is,
I mean, it is the chords of the chorus.
Yeah.
But we're singing a different melody now.
Mm-hmm.
Let me slip away. So let me slip away.
I love that harmony.
So let me slip against the current. So let me slip away. So let me slip away. So let me slip away. So let me slip away.
God damn it. We're no longer friends.
I don't know
why.
We're
not on speaking terms anymore.
That's totally fair. Yeah. That was the meanest thing I could have done. And I actually now don't know why I did it because all he said was let me slip away against
the current. And it does just keep doing that.
It does slam to me.
It fucking rules.
Right?
Although I do wonder if there was any point where they layered the two over each other because he does just kind of go from slip away into vindicated.
So you think maybe at one point they were kind of using it as like a counter melody?
Yeah, you could do that, you know?
Should we try it?
Wait.
You do the Let Me Slip Away. I'll do the chorus.
Okay.
You do Let Me Slip Away.
Okay.
So, and go. And I'll just follow.
Let me slip away.
Vindicated.
Let me slip
away. I am selfish. I am wrong.
Let me slip
Rip.
This is amazing.
See, it's good.
You made such a great point. That should have been a counter melody. Yeah. We already punched it up. You're welcome. Good day. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Great call. I can tell you're a big Chopin head. As they're more formally known. A Chopinista.
I can't think of anything better than that. Yeah. Chopin head.
They're bad.
Yeah.
I've never been good with names. That's why Punch.
Is there a hive name?
No.
Oh, okay.
I change it every time.
Okay.
Punch Showini.
Punch Pals.
Punch Pals. Punchback of Notre Dame is our favorite one so far.
Especially with Jom, that's very good.
So two of them. I got to get up in there somehow, but we haven't figured it out yet.
Okay.
And then to the outro. Look at drums. Bow!
Good.
Oh, the palm muted.
Slow spinning redemption.
It's just as good a fade out as it is a fade in.
I agree. Completely. I think it ends as strongly as it starts.
Mm-hmm. It's a great song.
That's rare, I think.
Yeah.
It's a great call. I love the drums on this song. I love the way they use the kick to fill in the spots between. Mm-hmm. I actually kind of miss this era of music, obviously nostalgia, but I feel like drumming was so much more interesting than it is now. Modern music doesn't have a lot of real drums.
No, the noise is a lot more constant.
And I mean, this is very cymbal heavy.
Yeah. But what's not to like?
I agree. I mean, other than the entire context of the lyrics.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
And I mean, we screamed so hard the whole time, every time. And we knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Knew it all
along.
Thank you.
That's good.
Also, yeah. I feel like we kept throwing our hands to the sky with like a finger pointed.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we singing at when we sing this song? You know, like there's something happens.
Mm-hmm.
God.
It's just, the way that it feels emotionally is just like a self-empowerment anthem.
Yeah.
But the lyrics are just so not that.
If we skip the verses.
Yes.
Or at least cut them pretty aggressively.
Chorus is great.
It feels like we're in church having a real dramatic monologue.
Yeah. Where it's like, I am okay.
Yeah, like I'm fucked up and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to the verses and he's like, and I'm Mr. Steal Your Girl. And open that mouth, baby. I want to feel them teeth. Oh my God, he's a dentist. God, it was right there the whole time.
Little Shop of Horrors outtake.
Yeah, he was like, please open that mouth. I got to check those teeth.
Oh no.
Ew, actually.
Yeah?
Now that I'm thinking about it, that's pretty gross. Anyway.
Dentists are fine.
So how would you punch it up, Karen? Would you? What would you do?
Would make the bridge better. We've pretty much discussed what I would do to punch this up.
Can you recap? Because I'm have no memory.
Bridge has to be more dynamic.
Uh-huh.
Has to be louder.
Uh-huh.
More like Kelly Clarkson's Breakaway. And do the counter melodies at the end.
Amazing. Those are such simple notes. So that's just, the song's kind of going to be the same.
The song is the greatest song ever written.
Maybe I might take the liberty of tweaking the verse. Make it a little less...
Just the lyrics?
Well, I think we could define a bit more, is this a personal story or is this Spider-Man?
Because
I don't love the ambiguity. It's totally Spider-Man until the fingers in the mouth part.
Spider-Man did not sanction that.
I mean, we don't know what he did behind closed doors.
Oh, no.
He might spin himself into a little cocoon. I don't know what he does.
Like fucking Frodo.
Like Frodo when he gets briefly captured by Shelob.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we got back to Lord of the Rings, which I've always considered the sister piece to Spider-Man.
Lord of the Rings?
Spider-Man and Spider-Woman, a.k.a. Shelob. Okay, well, I think I got my work cut out for me.
Spider-Man 2, best movie ever made.
Yeah, I'm glad we reestablished that. Yep.
Vindicated by Dashboard Confessional, best song ever written.
Yes, and if anyone has their hands on that original cut of Spider-Man that has the fingers in the mouth scene, let us know.
I thought you were going to say the original song that Chris Garaba wrote, and I was like, please submit that.
Oh, I need a sure thing?
Uh-huh.
I would love to hear that as well. Mm-hmm. Chris, I will forgive you instantly, I have to say. I'm a sucker for this voice. If you release that song, I will stop making fun of that I can't say your last name. Abracadabra.
Okay, I have one more note, which
yes.
is while I was listening to this, I was like, what if part of the appeal is that Chris career? I've forgotten it now.
It's fucking, I don't know why.
You accepted me.
I invert the R's and the B's.
Chris Carrabba.
Carrabba.
If he has a good voice to like scream out through this.
Yes.
What if somebody like Brandon Urie or Brandon Flowers had sung this song?
Mm.
Killers cover Vindicated when?
Mm. Vindicated, I am selfish. I am wrong. I am right.
Sing the lyrics to Mr. Brightside.
I don't know how else to do a Brendan Flowers impression. Vindicated, I am wrong. I am right. It's not good. I don't know why I went for it. I knew it wasn't going to be good. With that said, should we get to Unpunchable Jams?
You can't punch this.
Karen?
Yeah, I almost forgot this was a bit. Okay, I have...
It's not a bit. It's very serious. I appreciate if you took it seriously. Okay, this podcast is where we come to be serious.
I have to go.
Wow, 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 wow.
So all of my suggestions that I thought about giving for Punch Up the Jam, for not the Unpunchable Jam, were like all movie related.
Of course.
Where I was like, the other one that I suggested to you was like, we should do The Lion King's Be Prepared. And you rightly were like, maybe too deranged. And
no!
The other
I love that song. I just think... I don't know. I feel like it's, I don't know what I would say because it's perfect. I guess I don't think I could talk about it for an hour because I just want to listen to it.
That's true. But that is not my Unpunchable Jam. My Unpunchable Jam is the song called Goodbye, Eddie Goodbye from a movie called Phantom of the Paradise, which anyone working in media or entertainment should watch because it's Phantom of the Opera slash like Faust, but it's a musical.
What?
And Paul Williams wrote all the music and he stars in the movie. It fucking rules. It's about this composer who like writes a cantata and he's like, I really, but it gets stolen by like a giant.
Can you tell not me, but listeners at home, what a cantata?
It's just, he basically writes an opera, like a whole big story, like to music. And he wants it to get produced, but this music producer like steals it and produces the songs as like kind of pastiches. So Goodbye, Eddie Goodbye starts as like a sort of very like 50s, 60s thing. And then he like rearranges all the songs that this guy wrote to be like Beach Boys style or like metal style and like shit like that. It's fucking rules.
Wow. Okay.
It's so good.
The depths of your cultural awareness, it's like the abyss. It's just like the film The Abyss.
It's a dark, dark pit.
We get to the bottom and there's a bunch of gooey, semi-translucent aliens.
Mm-hmm. Like the Twitter video of Baby Owls that was going around recently. It's just a bunch of those. And they're all like, have you seen Phantom of the Paradise?
Okay, for my Unpunchable Jam, I wanted to do another song that was the credits theme.
Hell fucking yeah.
Of course.
All of them are really good. Like every song that's chosen to end the movie is great.
Well, I feel like another rogue choice.
Mm-hmm.
Although for the movie, I guess it was just like the soundtrack was kind of a rogue choice. The movie, of course, Good Will Hunting. The song, of course, Miss Misery by Elliot Smith.
Nice.
He performed it at the Oscars. He was nominated for an Oscar. And watching him be Elliot Smith on the stage of the Oscars was truly a magnificent thing.
I love Elliot Smith. I used to live right where this video for it is filmed.
Whoa.
And I didn't realize it because I'd never seen the video. And I was watching it. I was like, that's my old apartment.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So I feel like I have a weird, I don't know. I think he's such a great songwriter. And I actually love him so much that when I was in college for songwriting, I wrote a response song to Miss Misery. This is so embarrassing. I was
Do 19. You have clips of it?
Oh, I'm not playing it.
Okay,
there's
fine.
No world in which I would play this. It's excruciating.
Okay.
I would rather shit on air than play this song.
Oh my, okay.
Genuinely, because it's called Mr. Miserable.
Sometimes it can be good. Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, Sympathy for Lady Vengeance. Fucking great.
So it's not great when you're like 19 trying to be like, I'm a songwriter.
Okay, sure.
Miss Misery Hoomst. Mr. Miserable. Yes, please. But anyway, the song is beautiful. I think he's one of the best lyricists of the last like 30 years. I'm obsessed with him.
That's fair.
With that said, Karen, this has been a true joy.
This has been great.
I've had so much fun talking with you.
We went
off
to such places that I really wasn't expecting.
Where can people follow you and read some of your amazing things?
You can follow me on Twitter at Karen Y Han, K-A-R-E-N-Y-H-A-N on Twitter. I pretty much post everything that I write, which is predominantly on polygon.com.
Yeah, and you're an incredible film critic.
Thank you so much.
And I love your takes.
Thank you so much.
And your tweets.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming so much. Oh my God, Karen, stop. I'm blushing. I have to do my shout out. Now I can't even look at you. I have to cover my eyes. This has been Punch Foot Jam.
She really is covering her eyes right now.
I'm keeping them closed until I'm done. I can't look at you. It's too honest. You can follow me at Meow or Meow Monster. Punch Up the Jam on Patreon. Please subscribe to that because it's very fun. Listen to what I did now, and I'll see you next week. Bye.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now for world premiere.
Vindicated with a clarified perspective that maintains an identity crisis and, inexplicably, the bridge melody from Breakaway by Kelly Clarkson.
On a string, talking about Peter Parker, and he's me, and I am him, in the second Spider-Man. What a crazy movie. Tried to balance my duties, but the main takeaway is that I am certain I am. Great, don't remember anything else except Doc Ock and his dead wife, and how I convinced him to kill himself and rendered me so murdery and so horny for Mary Jane. Yeah.
It's vindicated. I'm Spider. I am man. I am boy. No, I am man. Tell that spider.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay, that was
Touch
the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
Hey,
Touch
the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum podcast.